Radio Alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom. All alchemists converge at www.radioalchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
And remember, darlings, to go to kpfk.org. There you're going to find all the goodies, all the wonderful folks that we have here programming for you, all of their hearts pouring out with information. All right, let's get to this. On the lines, we have Bob Doms and Ion. Just a very great mashup we are doing here tonight. And I'm telling you, this is one of the only broadcast stations in the world that you're going to be able to hear this kind of information and to participate in it. In the comfort of your own home or in your own car or wherever you are, we are with you in your heads as you are in ours. Let me welcome Bob Doms to KPFK. Hey, Bob.
Thank you, Eben. Great to be back. I was wondering where you get your intro music. Do you make it yourself or you find it in the charts? Where does it come from?
Oh, man, this is a really great DJ, a good friend of mine, Gil. I went to him and I said, hey, man, I got to mind you for some of his amazing tunes. This is all his production. It's a mishmash of just beautiful tunes. And fortunately, there are lots of genie angels out here. And Gil, if you're listening, man, thank you so much. Did you like it, Bob?
Yes, I always like your intros. They always put me in a good mood, interesting mood, early morning mood. Now, the club I danced with you at a year ago in May, what was the name of that club?
Oh, club, it was Deep.
Deep, right. Is Gil there?
Gil should play there. But he's starting his own wonderful gig out there, and so we hope that he has an opportunity. He's with on Ohm Records, which is a fantastic house music, etheric house music label, and so he's he spins all around.
All right, okay. Tonight we have I guess you'd call the astral plane or the non-physical plane as a guest co-creating with us. I think your fans and audience know that I've talked about a medium called The Evergreens before.
Yes.
Michael Blake Reed channeled The Evergreens before that. David Worster, who we had on last July, July 24th, you can look it up in your archives, he channeled Cosmic Awareness. There were other mediums like Seth and Abrahams. Well, this led to an acquaintance and then a friendship with a man named, we call J.W., and J.W. slipped into trancing March 18th, so it's just over a month, it's 6 weeks, and I've been talking to the spirit, the entity, the collective that came through. We call it ION, I-O-N, multi-leveled. You have ION, the mythical figure, ION, the electronic subatomic particle. You have the lithium ionic battery is the main technology for the cell phones and all the apparatus people use today. And then there's the ionosphere, and then there's the ion and million, and on it goes. It's a great two syllables, ion.
Mm-hmm.
So ION and I have been talking 3-4 hours a night for 6 weeks. Got an incredible archive. Over 24 years, I acquired about 64 hours with the Evergreens. It cost me $500 an hour. That was from 1980 to 2004.
Yes.
But here in a month with ION, I got 64 hours. Now we're up to 100 hours, and now we're going to add on another hour and a half or so with you, Eben. So unless you have further questions, I'd like to bring on ION.
No, let's absolutely go for it. Welcome, ION.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, Bob, you have the first question, I'm sure.
Greetings, ION.
Yes, good day, good day, good day. And all is well with you is our best hope.
Yes, do you have the volume up good enough, Eben?
I have it up to the top, he's coming through.
Okay. ION, you heard the reference to Solomon's Temple. Was there a Solomon's Temple, ION?
There was actually three Solomon's Temples.
Mm-hmm. And where were they?
Well, geographically or spiritually?
First, geographically.
Running along the 33rd and a half parallel.
And in many thousands of miles apart, or one at a time?
One at a time.
In the same place?
Within that parallel, yes.
Hmm. Well, along the parallel near what we know as Israel, or over to France, or over to Asia, do you mean that stretch?
Would be in that Asia Minor process.
Right. And
see, the time, the spaces don't change. There was a time there was no Israel.
That's right. As a matter of fact, that is another aspect of Ion. The Ionic civilization, back about 700, 800 BC in dog years, as we say, was the Ionic oracle of Delphi, part of the first or near the first Solomon's temple?
Well, that's very interesting. Something could be 2 miles away in ancient history, and it would have been a universal way.
Right.
And something now can be on the opposite side of the globe, and you can all enjoy the same conversation at the same time. Isn't it interesting?
Yes, it's a different situation.
Reality.
Let me ask you, Ion, did also report on global warming. What is the cause of the perceived warming of the planet? Is the planet warming?
It's warming and it's cooling, just as your moon is waxing and is waning. You humans, you are marvelous creators, marvelous creators. Every time they try to hem you up into a situation or a place of knowing that they are going to deplete you, they are going to eradicate you, they're going to move you into a non-existent being, it's amazing. The non-physical part, the pure positive source energy, love, is in each individual human. And in that human being, you have a resonance. You are the creator. You create everything in your world. There is nothing in your experience that you do not personally have responsible creativity charge of. So, and yet, you haven't destroyed this place, this globe, this spherical thing that you live on. You haven't destroyed it yet, regardless or within your best efforts to compromise its integrity. It still corrects and adjusts itself.
Is the calls and the alarm around global warming, why are they saying this then?
Well, it's more of an alarm than it is anything else. Hmm. You've had ice ages. You've had scorching meteors come into your atmosphere. You've had things that you shoot up into the space, and somehow they can't keep them there. They fall back to your Earth. It's a magical reality of knowing, a knowing place, that all is well and getting weller. And yet, isn't it interesting that your population is now a little over 6 billion? Well, you must be pretty together, or you couldn't increase infinitesimally your numbers if you weren't on a different, listening to a different tune.
Bob, your turn.
The Solomon's Temple, will there be a fourth Solomon's Temple?
There'll be many.
There'll be many more.
What does Solomon's Temple represent?
Well, in its original, the better question, perfect words, perfect question. The better question, and the bringing you right into that place, is for what purpose did the priesthood at the time deem it necessary to build a physical edifice on the planet? For what reason was it? Well, it was to be as a protection for what some of the Christian world or the Jewish world would call the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. And what that was an imbued with power box of the reality that there is non-physical. And you can imbue anything with power. You can imbue a government with power. You can imbue an object with power. You can supercharge a crystal and activate all kinds of releases of energy within that process because you have the power in your creativity to create. You can have a relationship with an automobile. Try to hurt someone's very fancy car and you will withdraw an emotion from them. Well, the more you align that process, the original temple was built or created to house the Ark of the Covenant.
Was there more than one Ark of the Covenant?
Well, very interesting. Yes, in the beginning place, there was one box that would hold or house or contain what was in those days known as relics. What I mean by that is relics that they deemed appropriate. When they left Egypt, they took the bones of Joseph. And why they would not leave poor Joseph alone is an interesting concept itself, but they wanted to take the bones of Joseph to what they were quoted or understood to be the promised land. Oh, I believe that's the land of milk and honey. Oh, I believe they call that Canaan. Oh, I believe that's just beyond the River Jordan. And they had other artifacts in this magical box that was important. But after a little while, when you start counting time, now in our place we don't do time, we only have now, which is the past, present, and future all together. There are more artifacts that are important than one box can hold. So yes, there are different expressions, as you call it, as separate individual arcs of the covenant.
May I ask real quick, what was the result of the meeting of King Solomon and the Queen of Sheba?
It was a financing meeting.
Okay. And what were they financing?
The building, the rebuilding, and the building of the original temple.
Why rebuilding? Where was the one before?
Well, it was an ongoing work and a process.
Ah, okay.
And so the Queen of Sheba existed, and who financed who?
The Queen of Sheba, which would what you would call Babylon, of that reign, had the financing resources. Isn't that an interesting word? Resources. You fight over those in your time space now, controlling resources. To control or channel or funnel those sources, physical resources into a place that would give Solomon's empire or reign relevance. He was necessarily historically, you have to look at that to see what your Wikipedia says regarding it, because it sort of changes a bit as you really look into it. But those resources came into a place to house what they called or described as the Holy of Holies.
Bob?
Is the Ark around today? Is it preserved somewhere, the Ark of the Covenant?
Everything that's ever been created still is.
In the physical?
In your physical.
There have been guardians or gatekeepers who have made sure those artifacts are preserved.
As they gave credence and importance to them.
Is there any special knowledge in handling these artifacts?
Yes, you, the creator, set the rules. Let's go back. Are you aware of a static discharge, sometimes a kinetic energy? Let's do something that you would necessarily resonate with. On a cool day, you would have touch a automobile on rubber tires, and there would be a static discharge.
Yes, sir.
Spark.
Yes.
And that's energy, and that's physical, and you can feel it. Okay?
Yes.
That's the ambient flow of electricity, static electricity. Well, if you magically, and we say magically not in any other way than people don't understand it, you imbue something with power, okay? The more that power is imbued into that object, the more kinetic static resonance that object will pick up. The same way when you activate a microwave oven with your popcorn, it resonates and makes those kernels pop. Well, that's not a new technology. That's imbued with power. You plug it in. It has a magnetron that makes that be the process to warm liquid, to shake the molecular particulate, to increase its heat, and it will release itself in the form of heat, which can cook things, which can irradiate things. Well, the same process comes into this same box, gold-layered box, that you had to have a certain grounding, and that would have been the Levitical order, or the tribe of Levi. Their job was to go forth first, and in that process of first, they were the ones charged with handling the what you call the original mercy seat, or Ark of the Covenant. And see, before there was a temple, it was housed in tents. It was a mobile force, a mobile reality. And that process then opens a whole new dynamic of basically trying to control or contain the non-physical part of human beings that have a physicalness about them. You see, you judge a human being whether or not they have their spirit has left them or not. That's how you can tell if they've left your realm of physicalness. Well, each human has that non-physical part, the source energy part, and that's the part that resonates with everyone else, you see.
Yes.
And yet you're individual, you have your own embodied individuality. You are the creator of your universe. Your mother erroneously told you that the world doesn't revolve around you, when indeed it absolutely does.
On the lines, we have Bob Dobbs and Ion, and we are somewhere that we haven't been before. And this is the amazingness of Bob to share his resources with us here on KPFK, on Pacifica, with the world on the Internet. You can go to www.fivebodied.com, fivebodied.com, because Ion made his first appearance on a guest show that we'd had on. Her name is Ray Allen of Rumor Mill News. And so I am very thankful and fortunate to know Bob, and for him to bring forth such amazing, amazing individuals and amazing spirits. And so we're going to get back and talk more with Bob and Ion after this very short break. I know you're not going anywhere, folks. I hope you understand what you're listening to right now, because this is KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles and San Diego, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. This is the place where you get to hear anything and everything. And so we thank you for that, and we hope you continue to make this possible. All right.
Where the past and the future converge. Go to www.radioalchemy.com. RadioAlchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
And remember, darlings, www.kpfk is your resource to everything that is Pacifica in Los Angeles. You can go to the program section, skip down to Roy of Hollywood's program guide, and there you'll find in the great lineup of the Roy of Hollywood shows Monday through Thursday, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, how it branches into Thursday morning. And there you'll find a link to Radio Alchemy. But you know where to find us every week. And so glad that you are with us tonight, because we have a very, very special show You might not recognize it. You might be wondering, what the schnee is Eben doing today? But as you listen on, things are just heating up, and we are just beginning with our special guest tonight, Bob Dobbs and Ion. Bob, go right ahead.
Eben, the Evergreen said that they were 6,500 to 7,000 entities. Another medium in Toronto, Dave Watson, channeled the Willows after the Evergreen stopped in 2004, and they were 293,000 entities. I asked Ion how many entities it was, and it pointed to a dodecahedron, and then I calculated the angles and degrees, and it came up to zillions of entities. So basically, all the souls that ever were and will be, and the ones that haven't been that will be, are who we're talking to. It's a collective intelligence. Very interesting. Now, these zillions of entities were dancing in the astral plane when the collapse of Wall Street happened in the fall. And I'd like Ion to explain why they were collapsing. I mean, why they were dancing.
Well, it's marvelous, you see, as coming into your knowingness of the power that you actually have. As human beings, you can be, do, or have anything. And if you can get humans to come to the spark that activates the non-physical part that's already within them, they know. Then they know. A funny phrase comes into to humans, and if you play with the words a little bit, it becomes quite activating, where someone might say, well, I think I know. And you play with that a second, and it's like, I think a thought, comma, and then when you know, then it takes all the mystery out of it. And then you can come into your power, your powerness, and you get down to the only thing that has ever worked ever in the universe is to come into an alignment, to relax and allow, and come into your knowingness to take your power back. That's when the financial systems start wafting and crumbling, because your humanness isn't going to have it anymore. You're good. It's like, do with me what you will. Well, we will put you in jail. Well, very good. Are you going to put everyone in jail? You're going to be a little overcrowded. Oh, but wait, the jailer is also in jail, is he not?
Mm-hmm.
Then you come into a place of having pure control, your control of your reality, of your world. You watch the news and are appalled, and yet it doesn't have to have a causal effect on you personally, you see.
Mm.
How is it that the you can have a flood, a mudslide, a drama, and it can destroy everything but you and your house? And now we're not saying that that's a way of missing the target of having destruction in your world. We're just saying, how is it that all the houses on the mountain get washed away but one, you say?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because guess what? When the house gets washed away, you get to recreate a whole new one. It's a marvelous thing. How is it some places can be in the worst drought ever, and other places can come into the place where they have an abundance of rain?
Mm-hmm.
They're green and lush.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ion, I have a question from a friend who actually had a private session with you a few weeks ago, and he requested a definition of the difference between what you call the physical and what you call the non-physical. Could you
Very
define?
Good. Very good. The non-physical is the part. Some people call that God. Well, that what most people think God is not. The God, the deity, the creator is you. Because everything that is created in this physical plane you call planet Earth in your world is created by the creator you. It's why mouth-to-mouth resuscitation is effective. You see, the non-physical part is the wholer non-physical part, the spirit man of you that is a collective. So when you decide to enjoy a suicide, because you create everything in your world, when you drop the physical meat sack part of you, then that soul or that spirit or that non-physical pure positive source energy goes back to a holding place, is a nice way to say it. And that reorganization becomes the difference between physical and non-physical. But the when you are born, when the soul comes forth, it begins and it has non-physical attached to it, you see. And it decides, it chooses, it comes to mix it up, it comes to have contrast, it comes to redefine and decide what it wants and doesn't want. And that creation then becomes the whole continuum of the non-physical that's enjoying a pleasant experience, a host symbiont relationship with a physical being. Does that answer you close enough?
Yes, basically the non-physical does not create, and the
it
physical
cannot create. It has no resistance. Create. Build a muscle. How do you build a muscle? Through resistance. And if you have no resistance, there is no creation or building of a muscle. Have no cold in your, or the flu of the swine, that's fun. You have a disconnection with source, and it will show up in one way, one format or another. And then you build a resistance or a tolerance to it. And what happens then, that's when you find the cure or the relief.
Are you saying that does the non-physical, though, animate and direct the physical?
Well, you are the creator. And depending on your degree or level of connection, gives you your spark of power in your physicalness that allows whatever you want to be, do, or have to come in very quick order, your experience. You see.
Yes.
But then you start playing with time, and that's very interesting. Have you ever been in an amusement park with your family or with someone that you care for or love or enjoy being around, and the day go by and you spend all day long playing, and the day goes by like a second?
Yes.
And then you come into a place where you have a deposition in the courts of your land or something nasty or horrible or something you have to do, and time but stops, and it goes on forever. Well, it's the same number of clicks off your created clock switch, which you created time, you marvelous creator. You gauge the span of even the time-space that you are enjoying or not enjoying that place in time.
May I ask, Ion, is there a reason why you are here now, or have you always been here in different forms?
The non-physical has always been, but the recognition is the representation that human beings, the creators, see a veil. And it's interesting that you go all the way back to King Solomon, because they created a veil to separate the people of that time from the deity, the mercy seat, the power of non-physical that they imbued with power. They created a veil that divided the humans from the God force, the deity. But remember, we've established the God's already in you. But they had to separate that power. Well, that veil is what kept things in balance or control. Now what happens is that veil being thinned, it's as thin as it's always been for us. But in your physicalness, you have the ability and power of knowledge to thin the veil of the flow between the non-physical and the physical within you, and that spark allows you to come into your power. That's what brought us forth through your asking. Otherwise, it would not be in your reality.
Ion, relate to me a very interesting theme for our audience, how autism is not a problem at all.
It is not. It's the little ones coming forth. Well, we need to develop this just a little bit. It's just a little bit. You have contrast in your physical human experience, okay? And you come to mix it up. You have unrealized creations, meaning hopes, dreams, aspirations, goals, things that you pray that will work out, where you come into an alignment that can't seem to solve itself. Any thought that's been thunk, pardon the vernacular, it still is. You see, that's the beginning place of creation. That's why the word is so, it stands, it is. And that creation then becomes realized or unrealized. When that becomes unrealized and you leave your physical body and leave your physical body behind in the soul, or your spirit man goes back to non-physical, all those unrealized creations go into the abeyance with us in non-physical. So now the new ones coming forth, they bring, that's why the little ones that come in now are cable ready. Your little ones can program your IR remote controls, and you don't know how to turn on the machine, and they can program the remote control to do what you want to do. The computer games, the all the technology that they just get naturally is because the richness, the more rich the non-physical becomes, and those unrealized creations bring those forth to be created. They move up that order of significance of what they can be, do, or have and know. All right, autism is nothing other than your society, as you call your collective, your government, your world, your province, your geographic location, the pushing against that you have to do, be, or have this. Well, the little ones aren't going to have it. They're not going to have it. They're not going to have it. And whatever they have to do to push against that, you had free love in the 70s where folks pushed against that the moniker that was going to control them and tell them what they had to be, do, or have, and they're like, no, 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 no. Well, the little ones come and they go, wait, we are the center, we create our world, we created our universe, we're the center of our universe, and we're not going to have anything else. And if that means we have to put ourselves in this place where we don't have to do what you say, we don't have to eat what you eat, we don't have to participate, we can be completely separate and in our own form of creation that allow us to bring, sometimes for us, contrast. But if you look at those, they aren't necessarily in contrast. They are now spinning their new universe, their world, that they are the center of. That's why you humans try to reach them. Well, if it is their wanting, you are able to. If it's not, and they can close or be in the close proximity of aligning and allowing that process, sometimes it's through a stuffed animal or something that they love, a piece of music, a special book, and if they can connect with that where you're connecting, okay, fine, no problem. Then you start reaching that individual being. But there is no problem. There is nothing wrong.
They are choosing just not to fully integrate into the game.
Well, they set the game. They set the game. They set the game. They set the games. And even if you read them the rules over and over and over and over and over, they don't have to participate, you see. And in their setting that place, that's a degree or an example of how they create. The same thing is true if you have those some babies that are born with genius. Well, sometimes that is also in your psychological profiles also a disorder. Einstein was known as a genius, and he was quite schizophrenic.
May I ask you, in the book of Genesis, it talks about we will make them in our image. Who was speaking?
The Creator.
And why is it plural?
Because you are many.
What does that mean?
Okay, you are a lover who loves. You are a driver of a car. You are the owner of a house. You are the voter who votes. are the chef who cooks. You are the consumer who consumes. You're not just a female or just a male or just a mother or just a son or just an uncle or just an aunt. You are many roles. You're not just a scientist. You can be a scientist, a father, a lover who loves, there's many titles of parts that is your beingness. And any one of those goals is a marvelous work. And as you focus and give direction or importance to a certain role, then you become known as a fabulous radio host.
Hmm.
You become known as a Mother Teresa, you see. But you're much more than just that one entity or thing.
We are almost at the top of the hour. And real quick, Ion, before we start the second hour, are there a finite amount of souls, or are there an infinite amount? And I'm wondering about reincarnation. If some of the souls that have passed, have they come back with this new knowledge, or is it just an infinite amount of souls that want to incarnate here?
As it is increased, as you create, you marvelous creator, as you create, what happens is you increase the entire spans of the universe.
Wow. On the lines, Bob Dobbs and Ion. So, you heard Bob talk about the Willows, the Evergreens, the Abrahams, the Seth, and we have Ion on tonight. Do you recognize what you're hearing? Do you know where you're at? You are still on planet Earth, even though you probably feel you are somewhere completely out of body, and I am so happy because you are mixing it up with us here on KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, San Diego, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. We're going to start taking your calls. The number here, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We are, we are going anywhere and everywhere. Do you have a question? I know you guys do. Forget about it. I know it's just so much fun. And Bob is so generous to share and to let us know about the greatness of men and women and humanity by showing this gentleman here, JW. Bringing on Ion. And so we are going to get ready to start our second hour. The number here is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK, and we'll be back with you and the rest of the universe in just a second. Stay tuned for the second hour of Radio Alchemy on KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.